And now on the next level with Joe Staten, we have former Upperman B and current Tennessee Vol, Will Mabry. Will, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me.
Not a problem.
It's a pleasure.
Not a problem.
Yeah, it's awesome to have somebody from the Upper Cumberland playing at such a high level, and it's cool to be able to speak to you about what you're doing now and then also, you know, things that you were involved in back in Baxter.
Yeah, cool. So it's awesome how I ended up here. It's actually a crazy story, but because it's different. You know, Baxter's such a small town, and it's starting to grow now, but it's hard to get exposure. So there's a lot that me and my dad and my family went through to get here, but I'm glad I'm here now.
Well, that's great. That's great. So your alma mater, Upperman, won the Class 3A state championship last weekend.
Right.
And, knowing that you're from Upperman, how does it feel like to be part of the foundation that kind of paved the way for this program to win a state title?
I mean, look, we really turned the program around as of lately. Coach Sanks and David King, they've done a lot of like really good stuff with that, with what's going on over there. It's crazy what's been happening with people back in our hometown and like Upperman and, you know, the Lady Bees as well. They won another state championship. So it's just a really good thing to know that all of our, you know, former players are starting to have a good standout season, and we're just trying to grow the program as best we can.
And Will, Joseph here, kind of just to ask again another question about Upperman. You were the first Upperman high school player to sign at an SEC program. And before we started, you said it was a bit of a crazy story. So could you kind of like walk us through, you know, what drove you to commit to Tennessee?
Yeah, you know, freshman year of high school, I didn't even make the baseball team in Upperman. I was kind of an under-blossomed kid. I transferred from Cookeville Middle School over to Upperman, which is in Baxter, obviously. So the coaches there didn't really know who I was because I didn't go to Upperman Middle or anything like that. So, it's different for sure because it was a tough, you know, it was a grind because I quit baseball for a whole year. You know, I felt like, wow, I've always made the team. I've always been the star of a team. And then not making it in high school or JV was like a shell shock. So, and at the time, my parents were kind of split up. So I was living back and forth with my family. So it was just tough all the time. But now the next year I made it randomly. So kind of funny. I made the team the next year because I randomly just started throwing again. You know what? I might as well try out again. And then next thing you know, I'm at a perfect game event with my dad. I was getting these emails, you know, cause I'm in high school and they do all this perfect game stuff and PBR. Me and my dad rented a Suburban and drove 11 and a half hours to Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Oh my.
And threw at a showcase. And I hit 85 sophomore year in high school, lefty. So I was like, okay, I got to do something with this. I got to keep playing. I want to play in college. You know, that's what I want to do. So it kind of just bloomed from there. Just had some good years at college or at school. So, and it kind of just kept going.
Awesome. Awesome. So I guess this next question kind of plays off that previous answer. You know, you were district player of the year in 2019, your senior season.
Yep.
And, you know, just how did your years in Baxter, you know, going from Cookeville to Baxter, prepare you for this level of competition you're in now?
Yeah, so obviously Cookeville, there's a whole rivalry between Cookeville and Baxter, but a whole different kind of like, there's a lot of people now I hear going from Cookeville to Baxter schools just because it's like the sports are just getting better. So that's good to know. Academics are obviously a very good thing at Upperman too now, but I've been, you know, the competition's kind of similar. I mean, obviously, Cookeville's a bigger school. The middle school is obviously a bigger school, but we still had good competition in high school. I mean, when I pitched, there was a lot of kids that were very, you know, we're from a small town, so, like, there's also a ton of good athletes that are just local that just, you know, don't want to play in college, just want to go work.
Mm-hmm.
So there was always good competition every time we played, which is, I guess, the kind of answering your question there.
No, that's perfect.
But I didn't see a big difference in switching from Cookeville to high school or Cookeville to Upperman.
Okay.
Well, now being in college, your sophomore season included the first College World Series appearance since 2005 for the Vols and an SEC East title. Just what was it like to have reached that level in your first full-length season, finally getting to, you know, play a full length of a season like that?
Yeah, you know, you talk about it like freshman year I threw some, but, you know, COVID cut it short.
Right.
and that was a hard time. I mean, COVID was just crazy. Come back with all these protocols, and it's just the grind in the weight room and the grind on the field. We had to wear masks everywhere. And then spring comes around, and we're just rolling, man. We're just playing baseball, having fun like we've always been doing. That's our motto here in Tennessee, is just really, you know, playing hard every pitch, ready to go. And we ended up there because we were a good team. We did things the right way, and we just played hard. So it was a crazy experience for sure. I remember all the bus trips is fun. I mean, being around the guys is just fun in general. But I will say that I had an injury earlier in the year, that year, so it kind of shined a little bit of my innings there and lost a little bit of my feel for my pitches sometimes. But I came back strong because, you know, I was putting work in the training room, and my trainer, Jeffrey Wood, he did a great job of, you know, helping us out and all of our players out. But going to Omaha was an unreal experience, and we hope to get back there next year this year for sure.
So, you know, this year as a junior, you're playing consistently, even on the weekends in conference play. What can you say about the growth you've seen from your sophomore year to your junior year?
I played summer ball the past 2 years in Traverse City, Michigan, and this year I'm supposed to go to the Cape Cod League. But what the biggest thing for me was mentality and understanding that my stuff's better than their stuff, my stuff's better than the hitters. And then I developed a new pitch that my buddy Ethan Roberts taught me. He's with the Cubs now. He's a local guy, too. He's from Florida. It's kind of like a slider cutter. And then I have four pitches now instead of one, which last year I would only get out lefties. I would come in and face a lefty on the weekend, or like Enrique Bradfield for Vandy, or, you know, TJ Collette or whatever. Then I'd get pulled and they put in a new guy. So I was a situation guy this year. Kind of turned myself into a long relief role. I've appeared a lot so far, which I'm glad. I'm very blessed to be in that situation. But I've also put in a lot of hard work. And the coaching staff here has done a great job with developing me as a player and a pitcher in general. So, but a lot of the main growth I've seen was 100% my mentality on the mound. I learned how to breathe better on the mound and not be so rushed in situations. Because, I mean, when you get thrown into the fire sometimes, like I've been put in the bases loaded situations with no outs, with one out, and there's a lot of fans, you know.
Yeah, a lot of eyes.
Playing somewhere else. I mean, they're yelling and screaming and it's loud and your adrenaline gets up, so you have to learn how to control that. And, you know, freshman and sophomore year, I wasn't anything like I am now. That's where I've grown the biggest, I would say.
You talked about putting in that work. To see it pay off in the way that it has in the SEC tournament, to come out champions on that, just like, what does that mean to you? And, you know, what are the emotions that maybe come along with that?
Yeah, you know, like, there's some guys on this team, like Evan Russell, Luke, and Redmond. When they were last in the SEC when he first got here, like, our coaches have turned this place around, Coach V especially. I mean, they just, like, once your players buy into the program and what's going to happen and you see the growth potential and you guys all play for each other, good things happen. That's just how it is. Like, all of our guys are close together, all of our teammates, which I don't think is very common on teams. I mean, you got your clicks sometimes here and there, but, look, we're all of our guys are super close together. And I think that's what really, like, you know, the emotional side of things really come into play because – we're not a very selfish team. We want to have each other's backs in every situation possible.
So back in the NCAA tournament this year, and, you know, you guys are hosting for a second straight year, how valuable does, you know, from your perspective, is it to have the home field advantage in at least these first two rounds?
Well, you know, I mean, our place is small. It's kind of been a porch. You know, people have known to call our place a porch and the ball flies out of here. So obviously being a pitcher here, It's fun because we know how to, you know, all of our guys really, like, know how to make pitches and throw low in the zone and not let the ball get elevated. But so it's an advantage for us because we elevate the ball. I mean, we put the ball out of the park very often. Hopefully I don't jinx us. But the home advantage, the fans, you know, you should see it in Hoover. They traveled. I mean, if you look at the stands, we saw orange.
It was,
you know,
a sea of orange.
Of, like, LSU, there wasn't a lot of Florida.
It was
orange, man. It was crazy.
It was LNS South, as I like to call it.
Basically, yeah, you might as well. That's what I saw on Twitter. Someone said they should call it LNS South or something. But it's unreal what they have done, and they've added more bleachers and the renovations that are going to be coming in the next 4 or 5 years. It's going to turn this place into a powerhouse of baseball. And Coach B's done that, and the fans here are rowdy, and they get into it, and they really have our backs. So I think that's a very, very big advantage for us. Turf field, you know, the rain can't really cancel anything, postpone anything, so we're excited.
Well, for Tennessee fans, or honestly just fans of baseball, you know, this is a really fun team to watch, but what can you say about just the identity of this team, and maybe how does that differ, if at all, from how opponents might perceive this team?
So, obviously we have a target on our back, being number one team in the nation, nationally ranked and all that. But our team plays fun, and a lot of guys don't like that because a lot of guys don't know how to have fun with the game. That's why you see our swagger we have and the stuff we do. It's because we genuinely love everyone on our team, and we love playing baseball. And I think the stuff that you see, the daddy hats and the coats, I mean, that's just what we do. That's just our little thing we got. And it's all for fun. It's all fun and games, and we just like to have fun with baseball because we love being out here and getting the chance, and God has blessed every one of us to come play this game that we love. A lot of teams are uptight. They don't play, they don't play and have fun like with their guys. And a lot of them aren't as close as us. So I think that's really what helps a lot. And Coach B, all the coaches put up good jobs like having fun little skits that we do for fun, in team rooms before we go home and stuff, and like Secret Santa. So it's pretty cool.
So, just playing right into that response of you guys loving to have fun. How did the fur coat celebration come about and the hands over the face celly?
Yeah.
The Baby John is what it's called.
Baby John.
Okay.
Hands over face celebration. Baby John.
Let me write that down.
Drew Gilbert is a weird dude. You love him to death. He's a good kid. He's a good kid. And he's a guy that you want on your team, for sure. You don't want to play against him.
Oh, absolutely not.
He's competitive. But he's a good addition to our team. And Evan Russell, he's probably the face of Tennessee baseball, if you really think about it. He's been here for a while, and he's the catcher, and, kind of like our captain. So he has the ideas that he comes up with, and we all just kind of vote with what we would like. So I think the Daddy Jacket is kind of like Macklemore. You know Macklemore?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Thrift store.
I think that's kind of where it comes from. So, yeah. It's just kind of swaggering. It's just kind of got some swagger to it. The daddy hat, I'm sure you guys know, it's like you make the pitcher,
yeah.
Daddy, you get a home run because he kind of owns you a little bit. So, just a fun and game little thing. This is part of it. Everybody got their own little thing as a team, I guess. That's ours.
All right, here with Will Mabry from the Tennessee Vols. We've kept you for a little bit. We've just got a couple more questions for you. The next one that I have is just – as of now, the team's ERA is 2.35. You're currently at a 2.21. Just like, what does that say about the tenacity and dedication from the pitching staff, and specifically about the leadership from Frank Anderson?
So, Coach Anderson, first of all, the best pitching coach in college baseball and in the nation, in my opinion. The reason why is because he lets us be us. We can shake what we want. We can pitch what we want. I mean, he knows what he's doing, so I like to follow his lead unless I'm really, have a plan with what I'm doing. But because he helps you teach. He teaches you how to throw and how to pitch and gives you drills on what to work on. And so that really ties into, if he's letting us be ourselves, that's when we're at our best. That's what Coach B's always said and what all the coaches have said. So that's why he doesn't really tinker with us that much, unless he really sees a problem. And our biggest motto here is throw strikes. I've said it in tons of my media I've had before. It's just really get on the mound and throw strikes and compete with what you have, and know that that mentally you're better than the other person. And, majority of the time it's going to work because we don't really get behind in counts. And if we do, we come back and we battle and just throw strikes. Seriously. It's crazy how it all works, but Coach A, someone needs to pay the man for sure.
Well, hopefully we can keep him in Knoxville for a long time. Against JMU in early March, you threw for a season-high 5 innings and had a season-high 8 strikeouts. Just getting back on the mound early in the year, how did it feel to see yourself excelling in the way you did?
Well, there was a lot of times where my highest before that was 1.1 career innings, I think. So, I'm trying to prove to the coaches here, which I think, I've done that. I'm a reliable person. I come in, I throw strikes. I'm ready for whatever situation is handed to me, but I'd love to know that I could go longer games. And I think that kind of showed it and put me a little bit more foot in the door to throw in more important innings and bigger innings. So that's really the biggest thing was for me is just to really have a good year this year and just excel in everything I can and be the best I can, the best teammate I can, and do everything the right way. And it all worked out for me.
And just to kind of put a bow on everything, a nice way to bring it back around, how much of an inspiration maybe do you try to be for the young kids in Baxter and around the area that, players from Upperman and schools like that can not only play in college but go to these powerhouse programs? Like, what kind of example do you try to set?
It's crazy. So I don't even know where to come with that because I was in the same shoes that they're in now. besides I didn't have a state championship under my belt, but like there's some good kids over there. Eli Huddleston and Caden and Carter Shanks, I'm really good close friends with them. Because they, you know, whenever we would do fundraisers at Putnam County Fair, those kids would be there, you know, helping out because their families are tied in the baseball. Their dads played. So it's cool to know that they're having a good season, and the whole team is, really. But Coach Shanks, he coached me for a little bit, and he had some work. He was now he's came back as head coach, and his dad was too. And they both have state champs, so that's pretty sick underneath his belt. But it's fun to know that I have people look up to me. And to be honest with you, I don't even know if people really look up to me as much as you say they do. I don't hear anything about it, and I'm never home to really see, you know, or see people that much that maybe do look up to me. Sometimes I do less than at UC Fieldhouse, so I guess those kids do. But we're 9-3-1 Elite Sports is what it's called now. But yeah, I think it's pretty cool to know that I do have people look up to me, because I was looking up to people once, like Ethan, and now he's one of my closest friends because he was in college when I was in high school. So, but now we text every day. So it's crazy how it all works.
That's awesome.
I'm glad to be a role model for those kids back in Baxter, for sure.
Yes, sir.
That's absolutely awesome. Well, Will, we're going to let you go. We know you got a pretty big weekend ahead of you, but we just want to thank you for your time and you know, coming on the podcast, doing a quick interview with us. And hey, good luck this weekend.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you guys. You guys ever want me back on, I'm always willing to do anything.
All right. We'll hold you to that. All right.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Reach out to me whenever and I'll find time.
It's great. Thank you so much to talk to you. This was honestly a lot of fun for us.
Okay.
Thank you so much. You too.
Bye-bye. See you guys.